Do you want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org. TheWordEndures.org.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself to be a Christian music artist now?
I'm just a Christian everything.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
That's what God does. We only reach this height, but God gonna back you up way further than you could ever imagine.
That's a little bit of the media surrounding probably the most famous conversion. Well, not since St. Paul. There have been more famous conversions, but musician Kanye West's conversion to Christianity has certainly been a media sensation. And with the release of his latest album, Jesus is King, you hear a little taste of it right there. It has been controversial, to say the least, not only among Christians, his fellow Christians, but also in the media. Some are saying this is all about Donald Trump. It's not about Jesus. And others are wondering, what does it mean for this famous megalomaniac, this famous musician, obviously very talented artist, to suddenly become very openly and outspokenly, typical of him, Christian? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about musician Kanye West's conversion to Christianity. Pastor Hans Feeney will be our guest. After that, Dr. Matt Richard joins us. We'll talk about undermining Lutheranism in a Lutheran congregation. It happens far more often than it should. Matt Whitman joins us after that. Part two of our conversation with him about a non-Lutheran's reaction to visiting a Lutheran church. He's host of the 10-Minute Bible Hour. Then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us. We'll be talking about 20th century Luther scholar Gerhard Ferdy on the inerrancy of Scripture. Joining us to discuss musician Kanye West's conversion to Christianity, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled Kanye West's Faith Deserves Our Joy and Prayers, Not Our Skepticism. Hans, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
What was your honest reaction when you first heard about Kanye West's very public conversion to Christianity?
Well, I'm probably not the best person to ask that simply because I know very little about Kanye West. So I stopped listening to new music sometime around 1997 or so, and I've just kind of had the same music in my rotation since then. So so Kanye came after that. So I wasn't terribly familiar with his work as a hip hop artist, really kind of only knew of him when he would generally show up in pop culture stuff. So I knew about him with the whole Taylor Swift thing at the MTV VMAs, you know, from a number of years ago. Knew about him from, you know, walking around in the Make America Great Again hat. I knew kind of roughly, I suppose, what his kind of public demeanor was, which was, you know, that of a guy who was, as I think you mentioned, a bit megalomaniacal, however you pronounce that word, and certainly very convinced of his own talent. But that was about the extent of it. So it wasn't, you know, if you had asked me, you know, if it had been someone that I had been more familiar with, I probably would have had a bit more of a skeptical response at first. If I had, you know, been familiar with someone's past, perhaps known a bit more about their, like Madonna, you know, Madonna was a big thing when I was growing up, and knowing how self-promoting and things of that nature she can be. If it had been someone like that, my initial reaction probably would have been to be a bit skeptical. And I imagine it probably would have been so if I had been a little bit more knowledgeable of who Kanye West is and was.
So how have you been looking at the general reaction? It's kind of been twofold. There's been the media reaction, which is, wow, Kanye's a Christian. What do we do with that, given the fact that he's married to Kim Kardashian and how that complicates it? But also that he did this really on the eve of the release of a gospel album. I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, I think figures in the media kind of know how to respond to publicity stunts. But this one's obviously a bit trickier for them because it seems certainly to be dealing with a great amount of sincerity, which is not something you normally find in that kind of stuff. And, you know, typically with Christian art and Christian music and things of that nature, the secular media tends to be pretty dismissive. But that's difficult to do if you've already kind of developed the credit kind of necessary to get in the public eye. You know, so for example, when, you know, Mel Gibson released The Passion a number of years ago, the reviews for it were pretty bad and pretty scathing and kind of dismissing it as, you know, kind of a form of torture porn. I think in large part because the secular audience wasn't coming at it from the perspective of understanding the kind of the great artistic heritage of the depictions of the crucifixion of Jesus. And so there was a just kind of a sense of wanting to just kind of dismiss it as having any artistic value outright. But music's, I think, a little bit harder to do that because there's not kind of that same audiences kind of have more of a say on how music is received, I think, than critics tend to. And likewise, Kanye had kind of such a, I think he's had, has such credibility within that kind of realm of, you know, within the hip hop realm, that it was something that couldn't be easily dismissed as merely a gimmick.
What about the Christian reaction to it? How would you describe that?
Well, I'd say it's been kind of twofold. The first part, which is good, has been joy. So there have been people who've just been very happy to see it. People who, like me, who, you know, listen to the album, and to whatever extent I am, I can be a critic of hip hop music. I thought it was really great, really interesting theologically. By and large, pretty solid. There's some stuff in there that, as a Lutheran pastor, I wouldn't agree with, and things of that nature. But by and large, a pretty good concentration and focus on Christ rather than on Kanye. So that, I think, has certainly been quite impressive. And then on the other end, you've had people who have, I think, been very skeptical of his conversion, who've looked at it as either as a gimmick, although perhaps a phase is more proper term for it, so that they look at it and they just kind of see this as, this is just kind of another way he's reimagining or reinventing himself, and it's not going to last, and so we don't want to kind of give this thing the air of legitimacy because we imagine that he's just going to make us all look stupid if we somehow praise this and acknowledge its reality and its legitimacy.
So there's that skepticism that even goes beyond, well, I'm going to kind of hedge my bets until I see what's really going on here. There's that skepticism that says, I'm not really sure that he's a Christian, even though he is quite publicly and quite plainly and honestly talking like a Christian, singing like a Christian. It may not fit all the theological holes that we want it to, but it's certainly, there's certainly no doubt that he has got the bare gospel going on. What do you make of this notion beyond just I'm going to hedge my bet, which is I don't know about this. I'll need to see more.
Yeah, I think there's this very strange presumptuousness to it, as though this is what I find to be so odd about the thing, as though Kanye West has something to prove to us, as though we as Christians accept people only on kind of probationary status to begin with. And that it's only, you know, once they have sufficiently proved their loyalty, once they've sufficiently proved their piety, that we will kind of accept the legitimacy of their faith. So I think that's a very frightening way to approach things, and often tells far more about the people who are thinking that way rather than the one they are thinking of that way. I think, as I say in the article that I wrote for The Federalist on this, that being a Christian is essentially just giving to your neighbor what it is that Christ has first given to you. So, you know, giving him your forgiveness and love and all of those things. And when we fail to love our neighbors as we should, usually what's happening is there's been some kind of breakdown in our understanding of what Christ has given us. So when we don't really believe that we've been forgiven, it's hard for us to forgive. When we don't really believe that Christ has been merciful to us, it's hard for us to show mercy. And in a similar way, when we want the assurance of our salvation, when we want to have the confidence that we actually belong to Christ, when we want the cross to stop being just simply some kind of abstract idea of this is how salvation can happen, and when we want that kind of concrete, tangible proof that salvation has actually happened and it's actually been given to us, well, so that's what it is that we're looking for in our lives as Christians. And when we are denied that, when something goes wrong in our theology that prevents us from having that confidence and that peace, it's very hard for us to allow anyone else to have that peace either. So basically, I think what a lot of this is just showing is for people who don't feel like they can have any confidence of their own salvation, they're denying that confidence to Kanye West as well, because they can't understand how to share with him something that they imagine Jesus hasn't given to them.
This is a celebrity. I compare this to, say, Elvis Presley or Johnny Cash. We're talking about mega celebrities who were also, from time to time, very open about their expressions of their Christian faith, and yet often their lives belayed that, at least morally belayed those things. And we say, come on, can a celebrity enter the kingdom of heaven? Kind of like the disciples' question about a rich man.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a part of it too. And I do think, though, that a lot of ugliness in life comes from us being bothered the most by the sins that, in other people that bother us the most are the sins that we feel the most guilt over, you know. So when I think about the people in my life that I have liked the least and have had the hardest time getting along with and just really couldn't stand, by and large, those are people that all have the character flaws that I imagine are worst in myself. And, you know, I think there's, in some ways, it's kind of a political application here too, in that in politics you tend to really hate the people who are most similar to you. And I think if you look, for example, at a lot of the hostility that President Trump finds himself receiving, is coming, the most kind of vicious, ugly hostility is generally coming from people who exhibit all of the same character flaws that he has. And so I think in a lot of ways for people, what seems so appealing about the celebrity life is the ability to live in, you know, lavish luxury, is, you know, having access to all kinds of, you know, licentiousness and things of that nature. And I think that's what it, that's why these people are fascinating to us. That's why they're interesting to us. That's why they're attractive to us. And in a weird sort of way, when one of those people comes to the faith, it's almost like we're echoing the same kind of accusations that the devil kind of worms into our ears through our guilty consciences. So in the same way that our guilty consciences tell us, well, you can't really be a Christian, you can't really believe this stuff because you're still doing this, you're still struggling with this sin over there, you're still doing that. Celebrity is just like that on, you know, magnified by 10,000. So I think in a lot of ways that's part of what it is that drives people's skepticism, is that in celebrities, we see kind of a reflection of what we would be if we were given unlimited resources to follow our sins. And we imagine that because we are so sinful, that our sins couldn't possibly be forgiven, and we couldn't possibly have really turned, you know, disavowed those things in the way that we think that a celebrity like Kanye West certainly couldn't possibly have really disavowed that stuff.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. He's a senior contributor to The Federalist. We're talking about musician Kanye West's conversion to Christianity. On the other side, we'll talk about the prodigal son, and we'll also talk a little bit about the parable of the sower. Stay tuned. Won't be in bondage to any man. John 8:33. We the descendants of Abraham. Yea, shall be made free. John 8:36. To whom the Son set free. If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, We Praise and Acknowledge You, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions.
Do you want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Told me it ain't Christ-like. I'm just trying to find. I've been looking for a new way. I'm just really trying not to really do the fool way. I don't have a cool way. Being on my best though.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Kanye West's conversion to Christianity. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. The brand new Issues Etc. journal is online and free. It features an article by Pastor Will Whedon, Why We Bother with the Fathers. A little known feature of confessional Lutheranism is how deeply it is rooted in the ancient church fathers and their teachings, and how well supported Lutheran theology is in that ancient theology. You can find out more about it in the latest Issues Etc. journal, online and free. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we will send you the latest Issues Etc. journal. It also features the Wittenberg Trail, from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord, a story of Dr. Adam Kuntz's travels from Anglicanism to Lutheranism. IssuesETC.org. Click the red subscription button. Hans, you make a comparison to the elder brother in the prodigal son parable. What's that?
Yeah, so the beauty, I mean, there's so much in that parable that's worth meditating on. So the older brother, the kind of the problem there is that he doesn't understand mercy, and he imagines that because he's been a faithful, obedient son, therefore, that should give him higher standing in his father's eyes. And in particular, kind of the interesting thing there towards the end of the parable is when he hears this celebration for his wayward brother who's come home, he complains to his father about how, look, you know, you never even gave me so much as a young goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But, you know, now that your rotten, disgusting son has come back after wasting your money and on, you know, prostitutes and wild living, you kill the fatted calf for him. And the kind of the interesting thing about that complaint is his father points out to him is when he says that everything I have is yours, is he's saying to him, you know, you've had the celebration of my love every single day. Every single meal we've celebrated together has been a celebration of the love that I have for you as your father. So the feast that is being thrown for the younger brother is also the feast that's being thrown for the older brother, at least it ought to be when he comes into that feast through repentance and through recognizing who he is and who his father is. And this is, I think, the thing that Christians ought to remember when we see, you know, the conversion of any person, you know, whether it's a high profile person or not, who has, you know, turned away from a life of sin and hungers and thirsts for the righteousness of Christ. That we recognize that when Christians look at that and when we rejoice and when we want to celebrate over that, that this is not a celebration that's excluding anyone else in the body of Christ. You know, this, for those of you who have young kids, you kind of know how this is, where, you know, sometimes you'll give one of your kids a compliment and then the other one goes, well, what about me? And you say, look, just because I'm complimenting this person here doesn't mean that I'm also, that I'm detracting from you or that I'm denying what it is that, you know, that you've done that's great. And there's that, you know, should be that kind of same concept here, where the celebration of Kanye's conversion, the celebration of his salvation, the celebration of the fact that Christ called out to his lost little lamb and found one and brought him home, is also a celebration of when Christ did the very same thing for us, and we should treat it that way.
You say that our faith is not found in other Christians. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think we Christians don't need to worry so much about vetting the faith credentials of people who say they've come to the faith. I think oftentimes what happens is Christians are used to being mocked, and we're used to being made to feel stupid, and we're used to being made to feel as though we don't have any place, you know, in secular society, and especially in entertainment media and culture. And so I think a lot of times that's the hesitance to be supportive of someone like Kanye West who comes to the faith, is we're very used to any high-profile person who articulates any degree of Christian faith, the media then, you know, starts raking him or her over the coals to see if this person is going to deny, you know, whatever is not the progressive orthodoxy of the day, you know, whether it's transgender issues, homosexuality, gay marriage, you know, any host of other issues, you know, the exclusivity of salvation through Christ alone, kind of all of that stuff. And what we've seen happen very often is that that faith is like the faith sown upon the rocky soil, and the moment it encounters any degree of persecution, it just withers and fades and disappears. And so Christians are kind of used to watching people fold under pressure, to watching high-profile Christians fold under pressure. But the reality is that as Christians, we don't have faith in other Christians. We don't have faith in the faith of other Christians. We have faith in Christ. That's where we place our faith. And even if people do fall away from the faith, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still our Savior. It doesn't change the substance of our faith, that Christ crucified for our sins has won our salvation, and his victory over the grave has made us worthy to live with him in his kingdom forever. So we're not called to have faith in other Christians. We're called to have faith in Christ himself. And we certainly ought to pray that Kanye West and any other Christian in this world perseveres in the faith. We should certainly pray that those who are going to be high profile targets for criticism and persecution and things of that nature would have the courage and the strength to withstand all of that. But even if they don't, that doesn't change the substance of what we believe.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, a senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled Kanye West's Faith Deserves Our Joy and Prayers, Not Our Skepticism. You can read it at our website. Click On Demand Archives. Hans, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back, it's time to talk with Dr. Matt Richard. We're going to talk about undermining Lutheranism in a Lutheran congregation. It all goes back to the simple teachings of the small catechism. You can teach some and then de-emphasize others. Before you know it, your congregation isn't Lutheran anymore. Stay tuned.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.